Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together in a little conference to talk about what's going on for the week and take calls or emails from listeners with questions. And this is Mark Waltz saying hello to you from New York City. And I'm joined by
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk up here on the Upper East Side. And I am also in New York City.
Good. That's two of us in New York City.
Two of us
and
in New York.
You should be hearing from Heather Roan Robbins shortly from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
But she's not on the call yet.
Not on the call yet.
We'll
yeah.
get started.
We'll start without her.
Here we are.
There she is, her incoming.
Here she is. That will be Heather.
Yes, this is Heather Roan Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good.
So we were just getting started, and I sent out the Twitter alert. So if anybody also wants to call in, we'll take callers, 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. Yeah, so the week ahead, I think, Mark, looks really interesting. I'm loving that new moon tomorrow. It's Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. Yes, 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 party, party.
Sure.
And then Lent on Wednesday. I always love Lent. It's one of my favorite holidays. Not holidays, I guess, favorite 40 days. I find it's really productive for getting all sorts of new things done.
Sure.
And that big, fat new moon is right on Neptune. So we're going to find out what our next 14-year, or not the whole journey, but we're going to have an initiation of the journey for the next 14 years when Neptune comes to that sun moon on Tuesday, tomorrow at 5:30. So I think it'll be great. Heather, what do you think?
I agree that it's really seeding our dream world, and I'm seeing that as seeding the dreams. You know, one of the aspects that I'm excited about in the coming months, as Mars retrogrades back to form a grand trine in Earth signs with Jupiter and Pluto, all in now through April and into May, and that, but you know, that's a very competent grand trine, and it gets stuff done. But we have to know what we want to get done, and I think we can use this dream time of the new moon in Pisces conjunct Neptune, kind of what do we imagine that we can get done? And the other side of that is being a little passive and low energy and needing more sleep and extra permeable at the moment, and that's, I think, natural to be really feeling that sort of just kind of not disempowered, but a little out of it in the natural world because we're spending so much time in the other worlds right now. But that'll clear up, I think, when the moon moves into Aries towards the end of the week. But it's going to be really interesting, that new moon in Pisces, to see what comes up. We might see some interesting activity around illusion, delusion. You know, who's going to spin us a story, or who's going to wake up from a story they've been living? But that will be.
That's a nice way to look at it. Mm-hmm. That it, you know, setting up for using the Mars grand trine in Earth by taking advantage of this sort of window into the dream world. Yeah. Yeah, because new moon energy is kind of an opening of a window. So that's good. So the sun has just gone into Pisces, and so has Neptune, and here comes the moon.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. And what are you, and how do you, what else do you see happening for the rest of the week, Mark?
Remember, Chiron is there, too, so that's kind of part of the mix, and I think that the way that that'll show up is we have the dream energy and the kind of idealism that goes with the new moon in Pisces, and then there's also a connection to what we've actually experienced, each of us, and to learning from experience and passing along what we've learned from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the Mercury in Pisces, it's a little hard to sometimes find words this week. Last week.
Yeah, that's true.
The feelings are very strong, but the words are a little bit inadequate. Or they're strong feelings, but they don't necessarily, you aren't really sure how you want to verbalize them.
Right. So. I think we'll see a lot more of that more clearly in the following week, but
mm-hmm.
this week it's going to be pretty fuzzy feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also clarifying the nature of relationships, you know, with Mercury ruling Mars and Virgo going backwards. It's like we're being asked to be clear about the boundaries in our relationships, what they are, where they are, what kind of boundaries we have. And if we don't have adequate boundaries, the universe is kind of kicking our butt a little bit and saying we need the boundaries more than not. And so I kind of look at this and say, well, what boundaries, you know, where am I in my boundaries? And being clear about them and saying, okay, that doesn't look like that's a good boundary. That's an okay boundary. And right now the boundaries are very squishy-wishy. And also with Venus and Aries ruling Saturn and ruling Jupiter, people are a little bit more warrior goddess energy about the boundaries, you know, about making sure the boundaries are in place. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or being aware that the boundaries are not in good position, maybe is a better way to say it.
Right. So. Well, at the same time, we've also got Venus in Aries and Mars in Virgo, and Mars in Virgo for a long time. And Mercury is moving forward into an opposition to that Mars. So it's kind of some, you know, watching how hard we are on ourselves at times right now.
Right.
And that Virgo ability to be critical and Venus and Aries rebellion. I think with Venus and Aries, very strong female energy, it was seriously the wrong time for the Republicans to have a committee on birth control and not allow anyone on the panel.
I thought that was hysterical. Like, where are the women? It was like, okay, we're talking about birth control and there are no women on the panel. It was so frigging amazing to me.
Allowed on the panel or allowed to testify.
I know.
And I think really with Venus and Aries at the moment, they really woken up this, you know, where the Pisces is all squishy and feeling everything intensely. Mm-hmm. But even with this very Neptunian time, dreaming, and we want to go into those inner worlds. Venus is in Aries. Uranus is still in Aries. The revolution is still on, and in many different kinds of revolution. You can see the conservative attempts at revolution, too, but right now. But this rebellious energy is still cooking the energy fields. And Venus in Aries really leads the strength of the feminine forward. And I just see it polarize the hell out of the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ticked off a lot of people, which is poorly done, you know. And
well, you know, it's actually a gift, though, because it kind of points out, you know, the hypocrisy on some level of it. And I think that part was great because everybody's kind of like, well, where are the women? It's our bodies. And why aren't we talking?
I don't mind that they did it, personally, because, you know, it points out something that I wanted to have pointed out.
Yes.
I just think that it was, you know, for them, it was a poor choice. You know, there's the astrologer in me that has my politics, and there's the astrologer in me that just watches the pattern.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so in the pattern, I'm like, ooh, bad timing, guys.
Right. The divine feminine is very cranky right now. Just be aware, we all have PMS somewhere in our chart. And that's the men, too. You all have a feminine part. But if your feminine part's to get a dissed, you're going to get annoyed. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's been very interesting to see the response to that.
Yep.
So, and Mars in Virgo, it's so easy. It feels so good to find something to rank on. I mean, we can be caught in our own, like, oh, am I good enough? What's going on? And this kind of convoluted sense. But if we find something that we can attack on the outside, it's like, they're the problem. It can feel, it's an unfortunate part of the process is that we can simplify it,
right.
Oversimplify it, and really find them wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, that's getting us out of our own homework and not a good long-term plan here.
Right.
But it's very tempting. And so when people screw up now, you watch, everybody just jumps on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's fun. It's like called pile on, you know.
Mars and Virgo can be very compassionate.
Yeah, no, I thought that was pretty funny. And I was like, no women. You know, it's, remember back in the 70s, Heather, when they had Ms. Magazine, and you might even remember this, Mark, too. I don't know if you had a subscription to Ms. Magazine, but you might have been dating somebody who did. And they would talk about the click moment. And to me, it was a click. You know, it was kind of like, okay, one of those click opportunities where everybody goes, oh, wow, look at that. And they see it in a different way than they ever saw it before. So I was actually excited about it myself. I found it quite funny. So, and it's like, okay, if we're banning birth control, then we need to ban that Viagra stuff too. We know how those babies get made, and if you're getting those penises up and running, we have to say no penises for you.
Huh?
And
they don't ban it.
No, I know, but it should be banned. I mean, actually, that's how birth control got covered in a lot of cases, was because they started covering Viagra, and people said, well, you're doing it for the men, you have to do it for the women. So birth control is a relatively recent addition to many health plans. But now if they're banning birth control, then we need to ban. And I'm always like, what is the matter with these people? You know, we don't take care of the kids we have, much less the kids that, you know, whatever.
But, you know, without getting too wound out into politics, I absolutely agree with you. But every side, you know, we can take it standing back, and I see the Republicans are using the same Aries energy on their side. You know, how dare they? And polarizing really quickly because this Aries is so reactionary, the Venus and Aries energy right now.
Yeah.
So everybody tends to get on a high horse really easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I found myself galloping off on the horse a couple times lately.
We'll see that on the national politics level, but you'll probably also see it in your local community.
Yeah.
If there's anything to get on a high horse about, somebody will do it. That's you know, in this month. You know.
People are in the mood. You can't make me. We're not trying to make you. I'm just suggesting you maybe consider something different. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a... you know, a strong sense toward the self-righteous, too. So, but, you know, see all of that kicking up.
Yeah. I have to say I like the self-righteous, though, when it's someone who's been downtrodden. Mm-hmm. And finally they get a little righteous. To me, it's always like, oh, good, you're finally getting crabby. That's so good. You should have been crabby before. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's righteousness, you know, it's simply, you know, they're mad about it because it's a good cause to get mad about, too, as opposed
some
to...
Some of that is, you know, Neptune moving into Pisces, too, because we are reminded very much of our ideal.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what we think we should have, or what we think, how do we think the world should work, as opposed to how it actually works, which sometimes can be in gross contrast to the reality of things. So, and our week also has some, you know, the new moon in Aries. That'll be interesting because it's going to stimulate the Mercury-Mars aspect. And it's also that same day the moon's in Aries, Mercury is opposite Mars. And then we also have her joining... the little glorious moon joining in the middle of the night with Uranus. So we're not going to necessarily sleep so good Thursday night. And then it squares Pluto on Friday. So that's kind of an intense day, you know.
But then the moon goes into Taurus, and then the moon will, over the weekend, we'll see the moon moving closer and closer to Jupiter every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be beautiful in the sunset. And night and Monday, we're going to see that Sunday night we have to see a new moon conjunction, you know, the moon Jupiter conjunction in Taurus. It's just going to be lovely. We can really let that into our hearts. And then Monday, before we talk again, I think, the moon will be trining both Mars and Pluto. So it's going to have what we do begins to really take form if we want to on Monday, kind of like getting comfortable with that moon Jupiter conjunction in Taurus, and this weekend I'd say, you know, one of the key issues is how do we get comfortable? Comfortable with our world, ourselves, our body, get cozy. You know, what can allow us to hang in here and keep doing the work. Then next week, as the moon leaves that conjunction, with Jupiter, Venus starts getting closer and closer to a conjunction with Jupiter. So it's got some really nice Jupiter stimulation coming up after this week. And I think we can use that to expand and get things going. And I'm looking for some economic good news around that, actually. Maybe we haven't spent too much, unfortunately, but I'm hoping it's better news than that. But, well, you know, you're going to see something around bountifulness. And sometimes that's like bountiful snows. Or, you know, we'll see what's bountiful. Let's see if we can use it in a good way. But we might look for something that we need some Jupiter energy for next week as we're dreaming.
And it's all coming forward. One more time?
A project to plan, a trip to plan, to let this dream come in and help think outside of the box with this Sun, Moon, and Neptune conjunction in Pisces. How to think outside of the box, how to really imagine it could be different little things in your life, big things in your life, and because we can't make it happen until we can imagine it.
Right.
Wonderful.
No, I think it's definitely an interesting time. And I think we also need to watch, just because of all the dream energy, you know, that we're using it, that we really are aware of, our body does need extra time, when, especially when planets change like this. You know, we had all that turbulence of the last couple weeks where there was a lot of departures. You know, we, you know, Whitney Houston, we had cultural icons. We also had, in that shifting energy, recognizing that those dreams finished. And then afterwards, there's that period of time when you kind of are, you know the old cycle's ended, the new cycle hasn't really started yet, and you're kind of feeling a little adrift and perhaps a little extra sad, because this is definitely, with Mercury and Pisces, it doesn't necessarily have words to express, it just has very strong feelings. So allowing, you know, if the feelings need to come up, you can find that they're feelings that are related to times very long gone. I know this weekend I was kind of processing a loss in the family, you know, not unexpected. Someone had been ill for a long time. And in many ways, it was a blessing, you know, that the pain was over and the suffering was over. On the other hand, it's still an ending. And, you know, watching that transition and then knowing that you need extra time, you need a little. So it's also a week, I think, because it is quiet on some level and because of the new moon, it's a week where we can really give ourselves extra time to the extent that we can. Of course, it's a busy world and everybody's got demands, but give yourself extra time to really have quiet time, to take a nap, to go to sleep, to go swimming, to do whatever meditatively restores you. Because there's a bustliness that, you know, there's a push to us to bustle. But sometimes on weeks like this, I find it's better if we give ourselves extra time off. Because then we can really truly come back in good form, rather than feeling like, well, I have to go back to the bustle, as opposed to I want to go back to the bustle. You know, and you may want to. Maybe that's normal. That feels good for you. But if you find you feeling like you need more time alone, that is a very strong energy in this week's chart. That kind of isolative, or feeling like, you know, I have a cold, I want to stay home, or I have a whatever, and I'm feeling like I'm being pushed back into the world, well, you know, take a day, you know, give yourself a bed day, and support that your body needs time, even though you might not have lost anybody yourself, quote unquote, but you're feeling this huge turbulent shift, and it's a big energetic shift. We have never had this energy in our entire lives, so we don't really know what we're dealing with yet. We know what we call it. We call it Neptune and Pisces, but we don't actually know how it's going to lay out in our lives because none of us have had it. So it's being kind to yourself when you're feeling a little overwhelmed or a little swamped. So.
Wonderful.
That good? Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. So we do have some callers.
Okay.
Great.
And one has her hand up, one doesn't. So if you want us to call you or pick on you, not pick on you, pick you. Well, maybe we'll pick on you, too. Yeah, we can pick on you, too. Our call-in number is 347-215-8881. And then press 1 when you call in, because then your little question mark goes on, and we can call on you. So, hi, Skype caller. How are you? Can you hear us? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, wow. I got through. Okay. So, I have a lot of Capricorn in my chart, and the last month or so, it's the first time I never feel like working. And it's just strange.
This is the first time you never feel like working? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't feel ambitious, you know.
Welcome to the Capricorn. When is your birthday? No, when were you born?
January 5th, 1970, in New York.
And what time?
At 2 p.m.
2 a.m.?
P.m.
Or p.m.?
2 p.m.?
P.m., yeah, in the afternoon.
A non-working Capricorn. I love it.
Or having a break, not feeling it. You know, your moon's in Sagittarius.
A little louder, Heather. You dropped off the phone there.
Oh, sorry. Your moon's in Sagittarius, natally. There are going to be times when you just don't feel like, when you want to play hooky big time.
Okay.
And if you know that you've got a break and you know that you're not stuck, it's easy for you to stay in there. But it looks like Pluto is coming to conjunct your Venus over the next couple of years. And you're really, you know, and Pluto is squaring your Uranus right now. And your whole creative nature may be really knocking on the door and saying you need to spend some time with your heart and with your creative process. Oh, I'm going on strike.
What planet is the heart? The heart is Leo, or...?
Is your, it's the moon, no. Venus.
Okay.
And that your Venus, but Pluto is coming to conjunct your Venus, and that Venus really needs to be engaged or it won't cooperate. And Uranus squaring Pluto squaring your natal Uranus at the moment is making you in your fifth house of children, love, creativity. It's maybe bringing some, unexpected things happening in your life. And the ordinary workaday world just doesn't have enough taste or flavor for you. So I'm looking for something that's more emotionally intense for you. Your progressed moon just opposed Pluto. So over the last few months, did some major event happen that made you either feel like you lost something or, you know, just there wasn't enough for what you were looking for in your life?
I guess, but it wasn't, you know, that wasn't something new, because with the eighth house sun, it's kind of like I always felt like I should be doing something serious, you know, and the other stuff that I have to do, I guess I resent it more than usual, you know.
Yeah. When you do what you want to do, how much in line do you think your work is with who you are?
You're asking? Really, sorry, I'm confused here. Not much, but, you know, it's just like paying bills. I mean,
But that worked up until now, and I don't think that's going to work right now. You have to be more inspired than that. You have to it looks like you're being asked, what do you really want to do? And how can you start taking steps to get in that direction?
And I've started a different kind of chanting with someone I met by chance. Is that something that you see should be taken further, or something that is not, that can't really be incorporated into other...
Talking more about... there's a lot of the unexpected. That's the aspects to Uranus in your fifth right now. What are you saying about?
Well, because I met someone who has been encouraging me to go to more meetings for chanting, and you know, I like to practice on my own. And I'm, you know, wondering if this is a good thing to do more as a group or, you know.
We have your north node of fate in the 11th house of groups. And Neptune just changed signs. So he's in a private house. He's in your sixth house. So he likes to be private. So now he's high in the chart asking you what the dream is. And the chanting is very grounding for your chart. So I think, you know, we're all getting invited to try new things that we might not normally do. And with your Mercury retrograde in Capricorn, that can be like, well, am I really supposed to do this? And I guess the answer would be, is it giving you grounding? Does it make you feel good? And if it does, then you should definitely pursue it more, because there's an invitation being issued to all of us as Neptune changes signs about what the new dream is. And each of us have to kind of say, oh, yeah, okay, oh, that, yeah, I never thought of that, but yeah, that could work. So the chanting piece definitely comes, I think, from the being asked to change up your stuff, change your routines. And
when you were asking about whether something significant happened, is that related to the Mars-Pluto square? Is that what you were, or the Uranus-Pluto?
That your progressed moon came to oppose Pluto, transiting Pluto, over the last 2 months, as it, your progressed moon squared Uranus. So it feels like you're hungry for emotional interactions that you haven't had before, and that you no longer feel comfortable just making do, and it could have been because something catalyzed this sort of, you know, it's like make it real or forget about it, kind of like I want something to touch my soul more.
And can I ask you, just because I have the Saturn-Jupiter opposition, I think, I don't have the chart in front of me, but and now it would kind of be like those are opposite because Jupiter is in Taurus. And so how would that affect anything?
Jupiter's opposing Jupiter, and Jupiter is conjunct to Saturn right now.
All right, so what that does is it says to go back 6 years to when you started back when Jupiter was in Scorpio. And look at that, you're at a culmination. And you're also starting a new 12-year cycle around your spiritual practice with Jupiter coming to Saturn and Saturn ruling in your 12th house in Taurus and the Sun Jupiter ruling your 8th or in your 8th. So, you know, you've got a very strong need for a really specific spiritual practice or a concrete solid one with Saturn in the 12th house in Taurus. It needs, and of course it's voice, vocalization, chanting. And so Jupiter coming to that says start a new 12-year cycle. So it also goes back 6 years. Did you start chanting 6 years ago?
No.
And now you're changing the structure of it?
I mean, no, I started, you know, chanting but like 12 years ago, not as part of a group. And so
okay.
This is kind of, you know, I'm kind of resistant to it. So that's why I'm wondering, is it,
right,
you know, is it a good time to trust?
Any group that you get connected to, because I think it's time for you to have more connections. But you need to feel like you are free to come and go, that being part of a group, and I think it's going to be very important for you to not to feel stuck with that group. So if you can just chant with them when you feel like it and not feel like you have to make any commitments, then you'll stay open to it.
Okay, thank you.
The point of it is the chanting. It's not necessarily... It's the change in your spiritual practice with Jupiter coming back to Saturn. So 12 years ago you started chanting. Now your spiritual practice is saying, okay, how about try this? And, you know, it may be a different group than the group you've run into, but your spiritual practice wants to go to a deeper level. And when you chant in a group, you have more energy that you raise internally than you do because you're working with the group's energy as well as your own. But in your case, because of the Sun in the 8th house, you have to be careful of the groups you're in because you're going to absorb their energy. So you might not like this group, but it might be another group that fits better.
I see.
And that Moon in Sagittarius will resist if you feel trapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
The British lady
thank
talked.
You. Have a great night.
So.
Yeah, so we're actually signing off for this. Astrology. Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York, Bright Red Desk.
And Heather Owen Robbins by the banks of the Mississippi in Minnesota.
Okay, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
Right. And stop by for Access Astrology 6:30 at the Open Center on Tuesday nights. And Heather, where's yours?
And I am speaking here at the Sacred Path Center at the first Tuesday of every month, and I'm teaching a new class on beginning astrology starting tomorrow. And you can contact me if they're interested.
Very cool.
Oh, good.
All right. So take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Bye.